Okay, you're listening to Alman V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos, Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. We have a perfect daf today. Let's see if we can make it perfect. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so here we're about to learn three interesting stories. Two are very similar, and all of them are very interesting, and probably do not try this at home. On Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, "Pama achas nichnasti achar Rabbi Yeshua lebeis akisev lamati mimenu gimel dvarim." One time, I followed after Rabbi Yeshua to the beis akisev, to the bathroom, and I learned three things from him. So he followed his Rebbe into the bathroom, presumably his Rebbe not aware of this, and he noted these three things. What did he learn? She'ein niftin mizrach umarav elat safon v'darom. That a person should not relieve himself east and west, facing the direction east and west, rather north and south, right, as we spoke about yesterday, right? Remember, they're living in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Akiva and his Rebbe, and Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer. This one is Rabbi Yeshua in particular, but they're living in Eretz Yisrael, and that he learned the direction to face and not to face. V'lamadati she'ein nifran mu'umad ela miyushav. I also learned that I shouldn't be poreya, to reveal myself. You shouldn't reveal yourself while standing, rather sitting. Right, assuming that you have clothing that could accommodate that, right? So back then it was if you're wearing a gown, it was much easier to, right? You can sit down and lift up the gown more, But to the best of your ability, it's just a more tsunua way to do that. Vilmanati she'ein mekanchin biyamin ela b'smol, and I learned that we're not supposed to wipe with our right hand, rather with our left hand. Right, so this also might mean hands quite literally, right? We're hearing that the discussion that they're talking about, like when they would wipe, very often they would actually be using their hands. As unsanitary as it sounds, they didn't have toilet paper. Sometimes they used rocks or leaves and things like that. We learned a Gemara earlier, not too long ago, about some not using pottery, that kind of thing, but. But anyway, the hand that should be used is the left hand, not the right. Those are the three things he learned. Amar le ben Azai. Ben Azai says to him, in the Brisa records the response of Ben Azai, who's a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, Ad kan he'asta panecha b'rabcha? Until this point, you were so bold, right? Asta, you were so brazen before your Rebbe. Like, I cannot believe you did that, Rabbi Akiva. Relay, he said to him, Torah hi velilmod ani tzarech. It's Torah and I need to learn. That's also a form of Torah, and it was appropriate for me to follow him to the bathroom and observe. Tanya, and here's another braisa. Ben Azai, Omer, pam achas nechnasi achar Rabbi Akiva, lebeis akise. Right? A little taste of his own medicine. So now Ben Azai is going to see his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, who is just the one who was seeing his Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua, and the other Braisa. And by observing Rabbi Akiva in the bathroom, I learned three things. Lamati she'ein niftin mizrach umarav el tzafon v'darum. Lamati she'ein nefran me'umad el miyushav. Lamati she'ein mekanchon biyamin el besmol. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda then says to him, Ad kan ha'as tapanech b'rabucha. You're so brazen to do this to your Rebbe. Amarlo, he said to him, Torah hivalim with nani tzarech. Okay. And then there's another braisa that says, Ben Azai was followed in the bathroom by Rabbi Yehuda. No, I'm kidding. But this is an interesting story. I think one of the first questions, that comes to mind here is that Ben Azai learns these three things that are the three things that presumably Rabbi Akiva already taught him, right? You're a little frozen, you there? So, one of the questions that really comes to mind right away is that Ben Azai learns these three things. Like he follows Rabbi Akiva into the bathroom. Presumably, he already knows these things. So, why did he have to follow him into the bathroom to learn the three things Rabbi Akiva already told him about? So the Acharonim discussed, maybe it's like a different order. Maybe that from the first that Benaza actually followed him before he heard the teachings from Rabbi Akiva. It's interesting, though, that Benazai, calls Rabbi Akiva, like, brazen for what he's doing. It's interesting also, I guess a note of Remez, he calls him Ben Azai, which Azai could look like an lashon of Azus Panim, of brazenness. And Benazai is the one who calls him brazen and then ends up doing that brazen act himself. But I think some of the answers that are suggested for what's going on here is that even if they learned it already, they kind of wanted to see it in action to get a deeper appreciation for it so that the lessons would stick more, or so that they would be able to see the Rebbe actually living by it, or if there are any details extra that they wanted to gain from it. There are some who even suggest that we learn from this Gemara that in order for these kind of things not to happen, you should actually have shiurim that discuss these. We'll see this next. The next story is even more surprising. So let's take a look. Rav Kahana Ol Gana Tuse Purye Derav. So Rav Kahana went to lie down. Tute puria de Rav, to lie down under the bed of Rav. Shame, he heard, desach v'sachak v'asa tzarchav. He heard that he was talking and laughing and being jovial and doing his needs, which is a reference to his interactions with his wife. Right? Rashi says, desach v'sachak im ishto, he was talking with his wife, v'sicha b'teila shel ritzoy etashmish. He was trying to, right, to, he was like making jokes and being light and saying very, light things in order to make, you know, for tashmish to be favorable for his wife. And then Rashi says, v'asad tzarchav v'shimish mitaso. Then, right, then, so he was with his wife. And again, Rav Kahana is under the bed. Okay? Amar Lei. He said, so then Rav Kahana calls out from under the bed, Dame Puma Da'aba Kidalo Sarif Tavshila. Right? He says, the mouth of Abba, referring to Rav, I assume not for referring to him, calling him by his first name. But he's calling out to, he's saying, Rav, like Abba's mouth is like one that's lo sarav tavshila, like it never had a cooked dish, never had food. Meaning it sounds like this is your first interaction with tashim shamita, that there's such an appetite and such a lightness the way you're speaking. Amar Lei, Rav says, kahana hachat. Rav Kahana, you're here? Poke, get out. What are you doing here? This is not Derech Eretz. This is not Derech Eretz to be under my bed. Right? It's a mind-blowing story. Omar Lo, the chutzpah, right? Omar Lo, Torah v'limunani tzarech. No, I had to be here. I had to learn Torah. So that's the end of the story. So, this might be the source for things like chasm classes and kala classes, that it's Torah v'limunani tzarech. And if you don't teach it, and you don't have the shiurim for it, you don't have the proper, of course, it's, maybe not the right thing for a big shiri of 1,000 people in a stadium filled, and you teach them these halachos. But at some sort of context, it needs to be taught. Otherwise, your situation is like this, and then they have to say Torah v'limunani tzarech. But there are other ways to understand it as well. Okay. Anyway, so the thing that Rabbi Akiva learned from Rabbi Yeshua and then Ben Azai learned from Rabbi Akiva, one of the three things, that we do not wipe with our right hand, rather with the left. So what's the reason for? So we're about to have, is it five answers overall? We're going to have some quoted by Amorayim, and then the Mishnah is going to quote some of them and add one new one. Rava says, Mipnei Sha Torah Nitna Miyamin. Because the Torah was given with the right hand, Shneamar Miyamino Esh Das Lamo. In Parshas Zos Abracha, it says the Torah was given from Hashem's right hand. Therefore, therefore we see there's an inherent greatness to the right hand. Therefore, we use our left hand for the dirty act of mikaneach after relieving oneself. Rav Barbachana Amar Ripnei Shehi Krova Lapeh, because it's close to his mouth, right? So person eats more often with his right hand. Therefore, especially back then when, you know, who knows, they didn't have the best soap options and they didn't necessarily have things like toilet paper. So if they're going to be eaten, of course they would wash themselves, right? At least the Jews always washed their hands after the bathroom. So it's just disgusting to use the same hand for wiping that you use for eating. The more social distancing you can do between the hands and the different parts of the body, the better. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Amar Bnei Shakosher ba tefillin, because you use the right hand to tie the tefillin, right? The tefillin goes on the left arm, but you tie it with the right. So it's the great mitzvah of tefillin in context of hands, right? Again, you don't put tefillin on the left hand, you put it on the left arm. So, but it's tied with the right hand. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Bnei Shemara ba tame Torah, because you use the right hand to show off the tame Torah. Right, it could be you've seen it. I'm trying to see Rashi over here. Right, this is referring to the trup. Rashi says, "Naginos tame mikra shel Torah neviim v'ksuvim bein benikud shebesefer bein." Right, so basically, what would happen is, it could be you've seen this. I see this a lot in Sephardi places. I've seen it a couple of times in Ashkenazi places where the guy knows the words, he knows the nekudos, and he knows where the psukim in, but he doesn't know the trup, and there's a guy who signals the trup the whole Kriyas Torah. Have you guys seen that? Such a thing where one guy is laning, but he doesn't know the trup at all, and there's somebody else signaling the trup? Okay, so that's what was going on.
They used to do that at the
Tef. What? They used to do that at the
Tef? Like twice.
Yeah. Okay. So,
there used to be a Baal Korach that did that.
Yeah. Okay. So, so that's what we're talking about over here. And it used to be that it was a halacha, or at least a minhag, that the hand they would use would be to sign it. Like they would signal with their right hand, therefore that should not be the... And this is in accordance with Tanayim. So these opinions we quoted here, some of them are going to be quoted in a Braisa, or Mishnah, and we will we're going to add one new opinion. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Reb Nesha Ochaba, right? So that we quoted away that one already. It looks like I think that was very slawkish, right? Because you eat with that hand. Rishu Omer Reb Nesha Kosevba, because you write with it, right? You write, and obviously we're talking about like writing holy things, or writing Stam, right? Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos. So it's a holy thing, you're writing with the right hand. Rabbi Akiva Omer Reb Nesha Maraba Tame Torah. Right, he said, use the same formulation. So we have a bunch of reasons. There actually might be nafkaminos regarding whether it applies to a man and a woman as well, meaning which certain things women don't do. Some of these mitzvahs, for example, tying tefillin. So if you go according to that reason alone, then maybe a woman would be allowed to wipe with the other hand, right? What about a lefty? So according to most of these reasons, a lefty would then wipe with his right hand because he puts his tefillin on the other side. He eats with his left side. But it could be that according to the first reason, right, that the first reason shows special preference for the right side because the Torah was given with the right side. So it doesn't matter if you're a righty or lefty. It matters general what the symbolism of the right is. So there might be nafkaminas between some of these opinions. Bottom line, I think we hold though a lefty does switch when it comes to wiping, and women would probably also follow the same thing with men because there are enough reasons that do apply to women. Okay. Let's go on. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Barachani Loi Kol Tzanua Besaki Se Nitzol Mishlosh Dvarim. Anybody who is tzanua, who is modest in their bathroom, will be saved from three things. Three things that were commonly found in a Besaki Se. Mina Nachoshim Umina Akrobim Mina Mazikin. From snakes, from scorpions, and from demons. V'yishom Afchalam Osav. Right? So, some say that even also certain dreams, like certain, I guess, dreams even his dreams will be Yumushav Malav, that they're going to be settling dreams, meaning he's not going to, it'll give him good dreams if he is Tsanua. Right? Rashi says, Demitoch Sniuso. That because of his tznius, so a person is definitely more careful. They're not as abrupt, and that's why the snakes and scorpions in the bathhouse won't be as startled by him being in the bathroom. We'll not be as startled by him being there. So it gives like a practical explanation, as opposed to the mazikin will have pity on him, because have mercy on him because he is tsanua. Okay, so now let's talk about this one particular Beis HaKisei. Ahu Beis HaKisei dehava b'Tveria. There was a Beis HaKisei in Tveria. Ki havu aili beitrei afilu b'yamama mitazke. That if two people would go up to it during the day, they would be damaged by these demons. Which is a chiddush, because in general we've learned about demons, right? We learned about it all the way back on Daf Gimel. We learned about it again on Vav, but on Gimel we explained that demons typically don't attack during the day, and they typically don't attack one person. This was such a powerful demon bathhouse or bathroom that even if you would go with another person and during the day, two of the things that are typically curb the power of the demons, they would still become damaged from it. Okay, so we have this really dangerous place. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi havo aili beichad v'chad l'chudei v'lo mitazke. And they would go one at a time, not even together, and they wouldn't be damaged. Amri lehu rabban and lo mistafisu, or you guys aren't afraid of this? Amri lehu, they said to them, anan kabbalah gumrinan, we know kabbalah. No, we have a kabbalah. We have a kabbalah. We have a masorah. We have a tradition. Kabbalah de besakise tsniusa ushasikusa. Right, we have a kabbalah that in the Beis HaKisei you need to be tsnua and quiet. And if you're tsnua and quiet, the demons will leave you alone. It's a good thing. And kabbalah de yisure shtikusa mi boy rachme. We also have a different kabbalah, by the way, for those of you who are who would like another tip or another word of advice. That the what's the answer to yisurin? You have yisurin, suffering in your life. So two steps: silence and right, so you shouldn't kick in the yisurin that Hashem gives you, meaning that you should accept it. Don't start making tainus against Hashem. And secondly, you should miboy rachme, right? That daven for mercy. And that's why they weren't afraid. Abaye mirabi ale ime imra lemeya v'hadei lebeis akise. So Abaye's the mother of Abaye would. She raised a imra, like a lamb, a sheep, to go with him to the Beis HaKisei. It sounds a little bit like Mary Little Lamb, that right, the lamb followed her to school one day. So this lamb, this sheep, would follow Abaye to the bathroom. By the way, this is when we mentioned her, I think, earlier in the Masechta, Abaye's mother. This is Abaye was an orphan basically from birth. So this was his adopted mother, as some unfortunate point out. But anyway, so Abaye had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow, and it followed him to the bathroom every day. So the Gemara asked a question. I'm sure this was the question on your mind. Gav, I know you were thinking this one. Uluravia le gadya. But she could have just raised a goat. Why a lamb? Why a sheep? She could have done a goat, right? Gav, you were thinking that. I know you were thinking that. So what's the answer? Sawyer, besawyer, michalaf. Because a goat could be changed, meaning that right the term seir in general can refer to demons, right? We have this in Parshas Achrinos, right? It says you're not supposed to give to the seirim, right? You don't bring korbanos to the seirim. So seir can sometimes mean a lashon of a demon. Rashi over here says it's a shin dalad shel beis hakisei, a demon of the bathroom. Doma la seir v'aleim nemar seirim yirakdu sham. Right, another pasuk that references these demons as seirim, refers to them as seirim as in Yeshayahu. But basically, the one of the demons of the bathhouse had some sort of image of a goat. So if you'd bring a goat in there, who knows? You might walk out with the goat demon. I don't claim to understand what that means. But anyway, if anybody you're looking for a protecting animal to bring into the bathroom, the best one is not a goat. By the way, the point of this seemingly, like, why is she giving him a sheep? Again, back to the principle that demons don't attack or are less likely to attack if you're with somebody else. So over here, where the Gemara is clearly saying, at least Abaye's adopted mother held that that somebody else can even be an animal. Even a sheep could do it. A goat, however, is not a good choice because the demon of the bathroom is similar to a goat. Okay, and now we're going to have some other stories about different ways to deal with demons in the bathroom. Rava mekami to have a resha. So Rava, before he became the head, meaning Rosh Yeshiva, mekarsh kashalei bas Rav Chisda amaguza belakna. So the bas Rav Chisda, right? Maybe you remember her from Daf Nun Vav. The bas Rav Chisda was Rava's wife, right? Right. Remember Bar Hedya said that, right? He caused her to die, and he said that I forgive you for everything except for what you did to Bas Rav Chisda. That's his wife. So what did she do? So Mikarshka Kashalei Amaguza Bilakna. So there was some sort of kli that she would amguza, that she would put a walnut into, and she would like rattle it to make noises, and that would stop the snakes and the scorpions and demons. That would protect him from things in the bathroom. Basar de Malach, but after he ruled, after he became a after he was coronated as the Rosh Yeshiva, it's an interesting lashon. We see it's not a strange lashon. Meaning we see this lashon of the lashon of Malach. We saw it in fact on Nunvav itself, but we see this lashon here as well. Avdalei kavta umanchalei yoda areshe. So she made a kavta. She made like some sort of window, and umanchalei yoda areshe. She would put her hand on his head when he went to the bathroom. So this is a. It sounds very strange, right? Rashi just says, yeah, it's a chalon kenegen makom shehu nifne sham achorei habayis. So that she was like almost as if in the bathroom with him to make sure he wouldn't be damaged, seemingly because of his rise to prominence as the Rosh Yeshiva, he required an extra level of shmira in the bathroom. Okay, Amar Ula achorei goder nifne miyad. So, if somebody is behind a fence, he can right away. He can relieve himself. Right? Rashi says the ein sarach lesrachik klum. You don't have to distance. Right? If you're behind a fence, you don't have to distance yourself more for the purpose of tznius. Is fine. Obebika and in a valley kol zman shemis ateish ve'ein chaver shomea. And as long as he is misateish. And his friend cannot hear. So Ms. Atesh, I think we had this on Chaf Dalid, right? When we're talking about sneezing during davening, Ms. Atesh could mean sneezing or could mean passing gas, right? That's that we had. This, we resolved a brisa on Chaf Dalid by explaining this. Ms. Atesh could be right. It's, there's upper sneezing and lower sneezing. So as long as he does he's Ms. Atesh, the lower sneezing, and right. If he can pass gas and his friend can't hear, then that is indeed far enough away. Isi Barnasan Masni Hachi. But Isi Barnasan argued, and he quoted a brisa otherwise, I'm not sure if he quoted a brisa, or just taught it differently. Achore Hagoder calls Mash Mesatish Ve'in Chavera Shomea, Wabika calls Mash Ve'in Chavera Roehu. So behind the fence is not enough, right? He says behind the fence, and also the friend is not able to hear him passing gas. Wabika, and in the valley, it's not enough that you can't hear him. Kol man she'en chaver roehu. You can't even see him. So meisve. So now we're quoting a brisa that challenges this. Or maybe, actually, it's a mishnah. Where is it? In Taharos. Taharos. Yeah. So meisve yotzin mipesach beis habad v'nifnin lachorei gadar v'hein tahorin. So those who go out from the door of the Beis Havad, which is where they would crush olives, then okay, a little bit of context what we're talking about here. This mission is talking about people, right? So chaverim, which are people that eat their olives in tahara, as opposed to amei haaretz, who didn't care about this high standard of purity. We mentioned them throughout the we mentioned them at least once in the Masechta. And so, basically, we want to know so they had to have people guarding it to make sure that Amei Eretz weren't coming in and making, and, you know, contaminated and touching these olives. So, we're talking about that context. So, Yotzei Pesach Beis Havad V'Nifnin L'Achorei HaGadar V'Hein Tahorin. So we said that in that context, right, so the people who are guarding the olives, they are allowed to go behind a fence, and relieve themselves, and the olives that were unwatched temporarily are not considered tameh, right? You might think, hold on, the guards went to the bathroom. We have to assume that the olives became tameh in the interim. answer is no. The short time that it takes for someone to go behind a wall, behind a fence, and then come back, that's not long enough for us to say, oh, there was an amaretz that came in the interim and was metame them. So the avos remain tahor. Is that clear? Was I clear about that? Explain that again? No? Okay.
You good?
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's my computer or yours. There's a little bit of a delay, so I can't tell if you're confused or just a little bit behind me on the visual. So great. So that's what we said over there. But this.
You've been the entire time for me, but I can hear you perfectly.
So. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So just close your eyes, sit back and enjoy.
You stop, and then 10 seconds later you move again, and then you stop. Whatever.
Yeah. So in that situation, so what do we say? We said that they can go, we can go behind a fence, or behind a gutter, a wall, a fence, but behind a wall, and then they can relieve themselves. Hold on, didn't Rav Yossi Bar Nosson say that's not enough? You have to go behind the wall and like far away so no one can hear you. It's a proof against him. Gemara responds, no. Pitaharos hekelu. No, they're in general for tznius. Yes, we try to say. Like Rav Yossi Bar Nosson were arguing that you have to not just go behind the wall, but even distance yourself so no one hears you passing gas. But when it comes to when in this situation, when it's the case of taharos, where we need to guard the olives, so we say okay, we're gonna be a little bit less makbid on the tznius, a little bit for the sake of the tahara of the olives. So this is not a good raya against him. Gemara responds, okay, we have another challenge. Toshma, come in here, a different proof from the same exact mishnah. How much can they distance themselves with the olives still remaining tahor? Kidei sheyehei ro'ehu. Enough that they're able to see him. Now, so that means that he has to be close enough to see the person entering. But then if he's able to see whoever might enter into the space, this base abad, and come to the olives, but if he can see him, then they can probably see him as well. And I thought that even in a valley, he has to go as far away that no one could see him. So what's going on here? So again, shani ochle taharos da kilu b'hu rabbanan. So again, in this case, it's different because the rabbanan made a kula in this situation, and we're willing to be makel on general rules of tznius. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi gives another answer, right? We see Ravashi giving an alternate answer. Ravashi was basically the last generation of Amoraim. He'll often give another answer, even if the other answer stood for, could be over 100 years, 200 years, sometimes 300 years. My kol zman she'en chaveh ro deka amar isi bar nasan. So what is this kol zman she'en chaveh ro that isi bar nasan was saying? Meaning, he said, as long as his friend can't see him. So what would he mean by that? That's all the time that a person doesn't see his uncovering of himself, his peruo. Meaning you shouldn't be able to see him like his body being uncovered. Right? But he's able to, but him himself, he's able to be seen. Meaning you could see somebody, just you can't see them actually uncovering themselves. That's what Bar Nosson meant in regards to the distance of friend not seeing him. Meaning like he didn't mean not seeing him, he meant not seeing him, right? Okay. Hahu saptana denochis kameder of Nachman. There was a saptan, a eulogizer, someone who would give his spade to me, right? They used to have professionals. In some communities, actually, I think they still do. Maybe, perhaps more in Sephardi communities, and I know of a person stopped on, right, they were very good speakers and very very poetic. The Gemara and the various Gemara speak about them. It's kind of things they would say. And Chagiga has a whole long discussion about it. What types of eulogies they would give. So there's a professional Sapdan who was giving a eulogy before Rav Nachman. Omar, he said about some person who passed away. Hi, tsanua baruchosav hava. This guy was such a tsanua in his the way he conducted himself. Amar lo Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, ata yad v'hadela besa kise v'adati tsanua ilo. You know if you followed him into the bathroom to know if he's tsanua or not? He interrupted the eulogy. Titania, and this is based on Brysa, in Koran Tanua, Elamisha Tanua Besakise. The only person we call Tanua is somebody who's a Tanua and a Besakise. So you can imagine, right? So the widow is crying. There's some orphans there crying. Some guy gets up to give a eulogy, a hesped, and Reb Nachman gets up and he's like, how do you know he's a Tanua? You followed him into the bathroom? So now Gemara's, this is very puzzling. Reb Nachman, my nafka le mine. Why did Reb Nachman have to do this? Mishum Netanya, no, it's actually very important he did this, because we learned in a Braisa, Kishem Shenifran Mina Mesim, Kath Nifran Mina Saftan Mina Onu Nachareim, that just as they're paid back, right, like the exact retribution, Paranios, right, Nifra, they make him pay, from the Mesim, they make the dead pay, also the from the Saftanim and Mina Onu Nachareim, also from the eulogizers and the ones who speak after them. Meaning, that basically, it's important that the truth be said. The post can discuss, like, you know, you could exaggerate, be a little bit poetic, when giving a hesped, but to say things that are false is really a big problem, and everybody suffers for it. The mace who's being spoken about suffers for it. The eulogizer and the people who respond after him. I'm not sure if that means the people sitting around, the people who just cry along with it, but it's important that the truth be said. Obviously, you try to point out the best of the truth and the nicest part of the truth to be said that about the person. We have to make sure that it's accurate. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Tzenua, Zeh Nifna B'Layla, Malkam Shenifna B'Yom. Who's considered a Tzenua person? Somebody who goes to the bathroom at night in the same place that he does during the day. Any, is this true that this is a requirement? V'hamar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Li'olam Yanig Adam Es Atzma Shachris V'Arvis. A person should always conduct himself, meaning to go to the bathroom, in the morning and at night. K'dei Shelo Yehei Tzarek L'Yisrachek. So that he's not going to need to, you know, go to a far distance to go to the bathroom at some point during the day. So you should try to go right first thing in the morning and last thing at night. Right, we mentioned back in Daf Ches, right, one of the like I think it was five different mitzios that you want to find at the right time was a bathroom. It wasn't so posh for people to go to the bathroom. We're very, very blessed to live in the society that we live in. With Vesu, and another proof, by the way, that you know, maybe it's not such an important thing to go to the bathroom in the same place at day and the night. Rava b'yamama hava azil ad meal. That during the day he would travel even out to, as far as a meal to find a good private far off place in the bathroom. Ulelelia, what would he do at night? Amar le l'shameh, he would say to his attendant, panuli duchta berchova demasa. Clear for me a place in the street for me to go to the bathroom. That's what he would say at night. Meaning, he clearly didn't go to the same place during the day that he went at night to go to the bathroom. In the night, when no one's looking, so he doesn't need to work so hard to find privacy, so he can kind of go in the street. Well, you know what we mean in the street, probably a little bit off in society in the street, but in the street nevertheless. Not in the same place that he went during the day. And also Zer would say something similar to his attendant. Chazi man de'ika achore beis chavraya de'be'ina lit mifne. He says, Chazi, go take a look who's behind the Beis Chavraya, the place where the people are. Divina Lifne, I need to relieve myself. So also, clearly, you know, people were Amorim are not so careful about going to the same place to the bathroom day and night. Lo tem b'makom, so the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean in the place, ela ema kiderech shenifne bayom. It means the way you go at night, meaning just like your tsanua during the day, you should also be tsanua when going to the bathroom at night. But lav dafki, you have to do it in the same place. Ravashi amar, again, Ravashi comes with another answer. Afilu tem b'makom, no, maybe it means the same place. Lo nitzucha ela keren zavis. But it means that you need to do it by the Karen Zovis, like a corner, turning a corner, private corner. Meaning, it's similar. It's saying that just like during the night, during the day, you find like a corner to do it to relieve yourself. So too at night, you should still try to find a corner and beat Sanuo. It's a similar idea. Gufa, This is stuff has a question. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lo Lam Yanin Gadus Asma Shabbos Varavus Kadesh Lo Yei Tzarik Lei Sarafek. That person should go in the morning and night so that he shouldn't have to distance himself too much to go to the bathroom at some point later. Tain Nami Hathi. And we also learned in Tain Nami Hathi. We also learned this in the Brisa. Benazir, Amar the Benazir says Hashkin Vitzei Haarei Vitzei Kadesh Lo Tisarafek. That you should get up early and go out. So that you're not going to need to later distance yourself from, right, and to go to a great distance, go to the bathroom. Okay, that's not a question there. Mashma v'shev v'alteshev v'stashmish. So it says that you should first, like, mashmash v'shev, like, I guess, mashmash, like, be hands-on, b'tzror, or b'kisem, liftos nikavim. Basically, what they would sometimes have to do is sometimes they would have to feel around to especially when defecating, sometimes they'd have to, like, open themselves up physically to some degree to get themselves to go to the bathroom. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's not something that the average person nowadays is familiar with, but so they would have to be mashmash to some degree, v'shev, and then sit down, but v'al teshev usimashmash, but don't. First, don't do the other way around. Shekhol Yoshev Mamashmesh, because anybody who first sits and then is feeling around, afilu osin kishafim baspamia boin alav. So even if they're doing kishuf in aspamia, which is Spain, it's going to come to them. Meaning Spain's really far away. If you do this type of thing, I don't know why. Maybe I'll try to look it up and send you guys. But for some reason, if you do this first, then even kishuf in Spain is going to affect you. Okay. V'in she yosiv achar kach mashmeish maitakante. Let's say someone made a mistake, right? He sat down, and then afterwards he sat down, and then he was feeling around to open himself to go to the bathroom. So maitakante, what does he do about that? Kikoi lemahachi. He should say the following. Lo li. Not to me. Right, lo tachim, tachim and tachtim should not have any impact on me. The Rashi says these are names of types of kishuf, so these things shouldn't have any impact on me at all. Lo hani v'lo mehani, not them or something from them. I don't want any part of this. Lo charshi decharasha v'lo charshi decharashta, not the spells of a charash or a charashta, a male or female sorcerer. I don't want to any part of the kishuf that can impact me for making this mistake. Okay, that's the best I can do, at least for now. So maybe we'll try to get a beer at some point. Shukach.